In this fallen and sinful world, danger is something that is never far away. Indeed, we live our lives with a constant awareness of danger. Job 5 in the verse 7 declares, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And the word trouble here means worry. The reference to sparks flying upward is taken from the blacksmith and how as he hammered a piece of metal, a vast number of sparks would fly upward. Now, this is the nature of life in this broken and wicked world. Man is born unto worry, unto trouble. And there are many worries, many troubles in life, just as there are many sparks flying upward in the blacksmith's shop. But all of the worries that men and women face flow out of the reality that we live in a world in which there are numerous dangers. They flow out of the reality of living in a world of danger. The danger of disease, of death, of some disaster coming into our lives or family. These are things that people worry about. They fear these things for they know they are a real possibility in this sinful and fallen world. As we then live our lives, we do so conscious of certain dangers that threaten our happiness and threaten our well-being. However, the greatest danger that man is faced with in this world is not some physical thing that threatens our physical well-being, but the greatest danger that men and women have to contend with is spiritual by nature. It is the destructive and damning danger of sin. I maybe just can't get you to close the door. Front door's blowing open there, and I think maybe it just needs to be closed. This is one thing that ought to worry all men. Worry all men above everything else. Their sin. And the great danger that they are in because of their sin. Of course, this is not what the vast majority of people are concerned about. They're not troubled in mind and heart with their sin. People don't worry about that, generally speaking, in this world. Yet as we examine God's word, it reveals to us the greatest danger facing men and women is not the danger of sickness. It is not the danger of suffering. It's not the danger of death. It's not even the danger of death. But the greatest danger facing men and women in this world is the danger of sin. If you think right back to the beginning of time, what was it that destroyed God's perfect creation? What was it that turned a world that was very good? A world in which there was no suffering, no sadness, no sorrow, into a world in which there are many trials and many tears. What was it? It was sin. It was the disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve, as they ate the forbidden fruit. It was sin that ruined everything. It was sin that spoiled everything in regard to our world. Romans 8:22 tells us, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. All of God's created world groaneth and travaileth in pain. Why? Because of sin. Because man is destroyed and man has defiled God's perfect world by his disobedience. Sin then is the ultimate danger that we're faced with in this life. And this is something that all men need to constantly keep before them. Sin is the great danger. The unsaved need to desperately understand this truth. They need to grasp it. They are in danger of eternal ruin. They're in danger of eternal destruction and hell because of their sin. Those who are yet unsaved in this house, you need to listen carefully to the words of Psalm 11, 7 verses 11 and 12. God is angry with the wicked every day. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Think of these words. Dear unsaved person, think of these words. The arrow of God's wrath is pointed at your head. The Lord has bent his bow. And think of the imagery, because God is speaking here through imagery and picture language. He has bent his bow. He has held it there. He's already strained his hand and he's just about to let it go. And the bow of his wrath will fly one day and it will destroy you and destroy you eternally in hell. What danger you were in, unsaved person. What horrific danger you were in. And this is why you need to flee to Christ for salvation. Because without him, Your sin will destroy your soul forever in hell. It is then vitally important that the unsaved grasp the great danger they face in sin, in their own sin. But as God's people, it is also important that we live our lives continually conscious of the great danger and threat that sin is. This needs to be our mindset as Christians. We need to be aware and alert to the threat of sin that we all face as believers. Sin is a real threat. It is yet a real danger in our lives. Now, the reason why I've drawn your attention to the danger of sin is because in the verses I want us to consider today in 1 Samuel 19, we read of how David dealt with the danger of evil in his life. How David dealt with the danger of evil in his life. Of course, at this time in David's life, the great danger he was faced with was Saul. It was Saul who wanted to destroy him. But in verses 11 to 17, here in 1 Samuel 19, we are told of how David reacted, how he responded to this evil danger in his life. And then thinking of how David dealt with the evil of Saul, we learn some important lessons in regard to how the Christian is to deal with the evil of sin in their lives. And really, this is what was brought before us here. There was a threat in David's life. It was Saul's evil behavior towards him. But as we think of how David dealt with this evil in his life, we are reminded here. We are taught here how we as Christians are to respond to the evil of sin and wickedness that can come into our lives. And so as we consider this passage, I want us to think upon the subject dealing with danger. Dealing with danger. We are, of course, focusing in upon the greatest danger men and women are faced with. The danger of sin. The most dangerous thing of all, sin. Notice then with me a number of things here from David's life which teaches how we as Christians should deal with the danger of sin. In the first place, notice here David's focus as he faced danger. His focus. See again what it says in verses 11 and 12. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Saul, having failed to slay David with his javelin, now sends his men in the night to David's house, and they wait there ready to slay him in the morning. However, Michal, David's wife, becomes aware of the presence of Saul's men. She then warns David of the danger he is in, and she helps him to escape. Now, from what we are told here, we can almost think Michal simply warned David of the great danger he was in, and he ran for his life. In our minds, we could perhaps think Michal, in the middle of the night, spotted some of Saul's men lurking in the dark. Perhaps she was up looking out of the window and she saw something mysterious, and as she focused in upon it, she realized those men are Saul's men. And she realized, listen, her husband was in danger, and she went to her husband and she wakes him out of his sleep and she tells him, "Listen, you need to get away because Saul's men are here." And so David gets up quickly and he runs away. And we could think, well, this is really just what happened. Yet this is not what happened that night. And the reason why we know this is not what happened is because of the words of Psalm 59. The words of Psalm 59. Turn with me for a moment to Psalm 59. Notice what it says here in this psalm. Psalm 59. And what I really want us to notice here is the title of this psalm. And of course, the title of the psalms are inspired. They're part of Scripture. And the title of Psalm 59 reads, "To the chief musician, Altashuth, Mictam of David, when Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him." When Saul sent and they watched the house to kill him. This psalm then contains the words of David's prayer and cry to God for help at the time Saul sent men to his house to kill him. And what this clearly brings before us is the truth that as David found himself in great danger, he immediately sought the Lord for help. This was the first thing he did. He didn't just jump out of bed and out the window and away. No, the first thing he did, his focus was the Lord. He sought the Lord for help and deliverance. In the midst of his trouble, when faced with evil, the Lord became the special focus of David's heart. Now, when we as Christians are faced with danger, the great danger of sin, we need to follow the pattern that David sets before us here. And we need to seek after the Lord for his help and deliverance. This must always be our first response when we find ourselves confronted by sin. There needs to be a sincere seeking after the Lord for his help and for his grace and for his power and deliverance in our lives. This needs to be our very first response when we're tempted by sin, when we're threatened with it in our lives. This is a truth that is brought before us in the Lord's Prayer. For the Lord Jesus has taught us that we are to ask God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is how we are to pray as Christians. Indeed, every day we need to earnestly pray that we would be delivered from evil. This must be our continual petition towards heaven. Lord, deliver me from evil today. We shouldn't set one foot outside of our homes without making this the very petition of our hearts. Yet even before that, before getting out of bed in the morning, Lord, protect me from evil. Deliver me from sin. This needs to be a constant prayer. As we then think of how David got before God that night and sought for the Lord's help and deliverance, this psalm reveals, Psalm 59 reveals to us that David earnestly sought the Lord, for he realized two very important truths. He realized two very important truths. As he got out of bed that night, as Michal revealed to him that Saul's men were there waiting, lurking in the darkness, ready to slay him, two very important truths filled David's heart. And we see this in this psalm. We see here David realized his great danger. He realized his great danger. See the words of verse 3 in Psalm 59. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Notice here David speaks of how the mighty are gathered against me. And the word mighty means strong and fierce. Strong and fierce. David's enemy at this time was a strong enemy. Was a fierce enemy. And perhaps he recognized some of these men who were waiting. And realized he was in great danger. And notice also what it says in verse 9. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, O God, for God is my refuge. See again here how David refers to the strength of his enemy. He realized he was facing a dangerous enemy. A fierce and mighty foe. Therefore, what we learn in these words is that David fervently sought the help of God in prayer because he understood something of the great danger he was in. He understood the strength of his enemy. And that's why he prayed at this time. Now, this is why we as Christians need to give ourselves to prayer when it comes to dealing with the great danger of sin. The simple reality is, sin is a mighty enemy, a strong and fierce enemy. And we cannot handle the temptation and threat of sin in our own strength. This is something that we are not able to do. As Christians, we need to recognize this. We need to grasp this. We cannot. We do not have the power. We do not have the ability. We do not have the strength to deal with sin and the threat of sin in our lives in our own strength. It is a great mistake when the Christian underestimates the threat and danger of sin. A grave mistake. And this so often happens in the life of the Christian. We don't live conscious of what a danger sin is. And how it can take us and destroy us. Think of that time when Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And this is what the Savior said to them in Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see what the Savior was saying to the disciples? The flesh is weak. And what he was saying to them, listen, you can't handle sin. You can't handle temptation in your own strength. The flesh is weak. You're not able to do that. But the disciples didn't heed the warning of the Savior. They didn't pray. Instead, they slept. We are told further on down in Matthew 26, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They couldn't handle sin in their own strength. As Christians, we need to realize our weakness and vulnerability when it comes to sin. This is the very first thing we need to do when dealing with the danger of sin. Realizing what a danger it is. Realizing what a threat it is. It's not something we can handle by ourselves. This is what will move us to earnestly seek the Lord for His help and His deliverance. David prayed in the psalm for help because he realized his great danger. But notice also here, David prayed for help because he realized his great defense. He realized his great defense. This whole psalm speaks of how God is able to defend and deliver His people. And this whole psalm really is, this theme runs through it, how God is able to deliver His people. But see in particular the final two verses here, verses 16 and 17, in Psalm 59. David says, "But I will sing of thy power." That is God's power. "Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Notice here how David speaks of God's power. And how the Lord is his defense, his strength, and his refuge. Now this is also why David sought after God when he found himself in great danger. Because the Lord is able to deliver. He is able to deliver and he's able to defend his people. Yes, David faced a formidable foe as Saul's men waited outside his door to slay him. And no doubt Saul would have sent many armed men, trained armed men, men that were used to fighting in battle. And this is why David recognized them as a mighty foe, as a fierce foe. As a strong foe, David recognized this. But the fact remained, God's strength was greater than any company of men that Saul could send. And so this was why David sought for God's help at this time. David was a man that understood his great defense in time of trouble was the Lord. Because the Lord is the mighty one. He's the all-powerful one. He is the one who is able to deliver his people. Again, here's the truth that the Christian needs to keep in focus when confronted with the danger of sin. The Lord is able to deliver us. The Lord is able to give us victory over every temptation and sinful desire. Understand this, Christian. It doesn't matter what sin you're tempted with. It doesn't matter what sin threatens you. The Lord is able to deliver. And the Lord is able to give you victory and enable you to live in victory over that sin. And this is the truth of God's word. Hebrews 2 verse 18 declares, "He that is Christ is able to succor them that are tempted." He is able to succor them that are tempted. And the word succor means support, aid, and relieve. The Lord is able to support the Christian when they're tempted. He's able to aid them. He's able to relieve them when they're tempted. In other words, give them victory over the temptation. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation." He knows how to deliver the godly. To give them victory. Titus 2:14 also reminds us that Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is why Christ died. To make his people holy, to deliver them from the power of sin. Therefore, when we are faced with the danger of sin, what do we need to do? We need to flee to the Savior and seek after the victory that is found in his saving work for us. This is what we need to do. When we're tempted by sin, when we're threatened to sin, we need to flee to Christ, flee to him in prayer. And say, "Lord, you died for sinners, I'm the sinner. Your blood is power to deliver me." You need to get before God and wrestle with him. Let me tell you this. Any Christian that does that will know victory over sin. Because Christ is our victorious Savior. And through the power of his atoning work, through the power of his Spirit, through claiming him and living in fellowship with him, there is victory. There is success. This is what David did. He understood his great defense was the Lord as he faced this evil in his life. And so he made the Lord the focus of his life. He got before God Proverbs 18 and 10 puts it like this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. When faced with the danger of sin, the Christian's first and primary defense is to seek after the help of their God and Savior. This was David's focus as he faced danger. And this needs to be our focus. This needs to be our focus as Christians when we are confronted with the greatest danger of all, the danger of sin in our lives. And so we have here David's focus as he faced danger. But then notice also something else in this passage. We have David's fleeing as he faced danger. His fleeing. Read of this in verse 12. If you turn back to 1 Samuel 19, notice again what it says in verse 12. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Told here how David got away from Saul's men that were sent to slay him. He escaped out of a window and ran away to safety. Now, as you think of how David fled at this time in the face of danger, I do believe there are two very important practical lessons, two important practical lessons that we should note when it comes to dealing with the danger of evil and sin in our lives. We see here the wisdom in David's fleeing, the wisdom in his fleeing. When Michal warned David of the present danger he was in, after David prayed and sought the help of God, he did not delay. He didn't wait around in his home and see what might happen. He didn't say, listen, I'll wait till it gets light and we'll never be able to count Saul's men and see, can we handle them? He didn't say, listen, we'll not be hasty here. We'll just see how things develop first of all. This is not what David did. But he was wise. And he took measures to escape the danger he was in. It would have been foolish for David to remain in his home that night. For as Michal told him at the end of verse 11, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. There was then great wisdom in David fleeing that night. Because the threat was such that if he didn't escape that night, he would have died in the morning. Now when it comes to the danger of sin, it is not only crucial that we as Christians pray for deliverance. And of course, as I've already said, that is our primary defense. But it's not only crucial that we pray for deliverance, but it's also vital that we use wisdom. And where we can, we flee from the very presence of sin. Where we can, we flee from the presence of sin. We live in a world where we are surrounded by sinful and evil things. This is everywhere in our wicked world. But as far as we can, we are to seek to avoid everything and anything that could lead us into sin. We are to seek to avoid everything that will lead us into sin. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 gives the exhortation, abstain from all appearance of evil. The thought here is we need to make it our business to get as far away from that which is sinful as we can. And this is the mindset we ought to have when it comes to sin. We're to seek to get it away from it as far as we can. Remove it from our lives as far as possible. The wise Christian will be like Joseph in Potiphar's house. Genesis 39 verse 12 tells us, Potiphar's wife caught him, that is caught Joseph, by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph did not give his mind time to contemplate sin. He did not give his eyes time to look upon sin. He didn't give his ears time to listen to sin. He didn't give his heart time to desire sin. He was wise. He got him out. He fled from the very presence of sin. Now, this is wise Christian behavior. It is wise Christian behavior to flee from sin and to get us away from sin as far out as it is possible. By contrast, when we don't flee from sin, when we don't put evil out of our lives, we behave like fools. This is foolish behavior. When we allow sin to dwell in our lives, when we don't flee from its presence, this is to, in reality, play with fire. That's what it is. It is to play with fire. In Proverbs 6, verse 27, asks the searching question, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? And what the Lord is saying there is, if you play with fire, if you take fire in your bosom, you will be burnt, you will be pained, you will be scarred, it will hurt, it will destroy you. And this, of course, is speaking about sin. Sin is like fire, and if we let it dwell with us, if we don't flee from it, we will be burnt. And we will be pained. And we will be scarred. Oh, David was wise here. He was wise here because he fled. He fled from evil. And this is what the wise Christian will do when it comes to sin. They will flee from it. They will seek to get as far away as possible from that which is evil and that which is sinful. But then notice something else here. Not only the wisdom in David's fleeing, but the way of David's fleeing, the way of it. Notice again what it says in verse 12. So Michal let David down through a window. They went and fled and escaped. Michal let David down through a window. It was obviously the case that Saul's men were watching the door or doors of David's house. So David couldn't escape through the door. Therefore, he made his escape through a window. Now, the very fact that Michal had to let him down through a window reveals this window was in an upper level. It was in an upper level in their home. David was not able to simply jump out of the window, but he had to be let down because there was height here. And there was danger in that itself, having to be let down through a window. However, the point I want us to note is this. David was ruthless. David was unstoppable when it came to escaping from Saul's men. He simply was not going to let these men slay him. He was not going to be caught by them. He was going to get away from them. Even making his escape from an upper level, an upper window in his home. And we see here David's attitude. We see his mindset here. He wasn't going to do anything but get away. And he was going to get away in whatever means he could possibly use, even from this window at an upper level, being let down by his wife. Here's the way the Christian must flee from sin. Here is the way the Christian must flee from sin. They must do whatever it takes. They must do whatever it takes to get away from sin and put it out of their lives. This is how we are to deal with sin. Be desperate in escaping from it. Be desperate and ruthless in fleeing from its presence. Do all that we can to stop sin and to put it out of our lives. The Lord Jesus brings this very truth before us as he declared in Matthew 5 verses 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out from thee. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. Think of what the Savior is saying here. He's saying we are to be ruthless with sin. And we are to do all that we can to put it out of our lives. Our right hand offend, cut it off. Our right eye, pluck it out. And of course the Savior wasn't speaking that we are to physically attack ourselves, but he was speaking about how we are to deal with sin. We're to show it no mercy. We are to be ruthless. If there are things in your life, if there are things in your life that lead you into sin, then you need to escape from those things by putting them out. Putting them away. Places perhaps that you go, and that place you go to would lead you into sin. Don't go to that place. Stay away from it. Perhaps people that you know, and they're a bad influence, and being with those people leads you into certain sin. Stay away from those people. Cut them off, pluck them out. Perhaps pleasures. And of course, there are many pleasures in our wicked world that are but a doorway into sin itself. Television, the internet, many other things. Let me say this, if these things are leading you into sin, cut them off, they're not worth it. Pluck them out. If they're but a doorway leading you into wickedness, you need to be like David here. Be ruthless. Escape by whatever means possible comes to hand. And that's what David did. He got away in whatever way he could. And that's the way you need to do, believer, when it comes to sin. You need to be wise. You need to flee from sin by doing whatever it takes to escape from its presence. And so we have David fleeing in the face of danger here. David fleeing in the face of danger, as well as David's focus in the face of danger. One last thing, notice with me in this passage, and that is David's fight as he faced danger. His fight. In verses 10 to 18, we see that Michal deceived her father Saul. And she deceived her father Saul in a number of different ways, here in verses 10 to 18. And she did this to give David time to make his escape. When David did not come out of his house in the morning, Saul's men were waiting there, but when he didn't come out of his house in the morning, Saul sent his men to arrest him. But Michal told them he was sick. He couldn't come out because he was sick. As Saul's soldiers then bring this report back that David is sick, Saul tells them to go and fetch David on his bed and bring David to him, and that he would slay David while he was yet on his bed. These men again returned to David's house, and they carried David's bed to the palace. And they do this thinking David is in it. But when Saul pulls back the covers, instead of finding David, Saul finds an image that Michal had put in the bed. And so she was deceiving, she was tricking her father all of the time here. Now all of these shenanigans gave David time to make good his escape. And they stopped Saul on his evil mission in killing David. And that's what all this was about. All of this deception, all of this trickery that Michal used here was to give David time to escape and to get away from her father. Yet what I just want us to note in closing is this. David and his wife Michal resisted and fought against this evil that Saul was seeking to bring upon them. That's what they were doing at this time. They made it difficult for Saul to succeed in his wicked plans. And that's what all this trickery was. It was fighting against Saul. It was interrupting his plans. It was stopping him in his wicked purposes. That's what it was all about. There was a fight here against Saul's evil and what he wanted to do. Now I do believe we see here another important lesson when it comes to the danger of sin in the life of the Christian. And that is, as Christians, we are to actively fight against sin and resist it in every way possible. We're to actively fight against sin and to resist it in every way possible. Yes, as I've already noted, we are to pray about sin and seek the Lord for help and deliverance. We're to make the Lord the focus when we're tempted. We're to flee from sin. But we also see here, we are to fight against sin, seeking to slay sin and put it down wherever it raises its ugly head. This is what Israel were commanded to do as they went into the promised land. Remember what God said to the people of Israel as they went into the promised land? They were to slay all that lived there. Man and woman, child and infant, were all to be slain. And why was this to be the case? Why were these people to be cut off? Utterly cut off. All that breathed were utterly to be cut off. It was because they were to fight against sin. These were a wicked people, a sinful people. And if Israel let them live, then they would introduce their wickedness, their pagan practices, their idolatry amongst the people of God. So the Lord said, slay them all, fight against them. And that's what they did, to a certain degree. And those they didn't kill became a snare unto them. So as Christians, we need to fight against sin. Actively fight against sin. We are to live and behave in such a way that it will be difficult for sin to live and grow in our lives. And this is how we are to live as Christians. We're to live in such a way that our hearts will be unfertile ground for sin to grow in. Act and behave in such a way that will be hard and difficult for the devil with the sinful plans to get a foothold in our heart and in our lives. The best way to fight against sin is really set before us in the words of Psalm 119 in the verse 11. David says there, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Think of what David was doing there. He was hiding God's word in his heart. And the thought is to fill his heart with God's word. To fill it up. Fill his heart up with God's word. And because he filled his heart with God's word, sin could not find a place in his heart. He was making his life a place where it was very difficult for the weeds of sin to spring forth. He hid God's word in his heart. And this is how we are to fight against sin. This is how we are to face this great danger that comes against us as believers. If you're going to be in good shape to resist physical sickness, then we need to eat well. We need to exercise. We need to do certain things. If we're going to look after our bodies in the physical sense, then we need to care for our physical bodies in a certain way. That we will be strong and healthy. We will to resist and fight against the sickness and danger of sin. It is vital, believer. It is crucial that we're spiritually healthy. Spiritually in good shape. This is so crucial. So vital. We need to be people who live in fellowship with Christ. People who feed our souls in the Word of God. People of prayer. This is the way we fight. Fight against sin. And live in victory. And so as you think about David here, there was the focus as he faced danger. The fleeing as he faced danger. And the fight as he faced danger. And this is the way we are to deal with sin. Wickedness as it comes against us. Make Christ the focus of our lives. Flee from the very presence of sin. And continually fight the good fight of faith. Putting on the whole armor of God. That we might be those who live a life for the glory of our King and Savior. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen. And amen.